Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasseau. Today we will be speaking with David Wells, president of North Point Institute for Public Management, Inc., a company specializing in offender classification, risk assessment, and criminal justice system analysis and planning. In his capacity as president, Mr. Wells assists jails, local criminal justice systems, and community programs in analyzing data collection and management information needs. He helps evaluate develop solutions to particular problems and designs regarding criminal justice information systems. Mr. Wells also has extensive experience in the area of community corrections planning, developing programs, designing and implementing data collection and analysis systems that support counties. He has provided inmate classification training to over 300 jails and risk and needs assessment training to over 70 probation and community corrections agencies. He's been a consultant and a presenter for numerous conferences and workshops on implementation, policy, and procedure development, and data applications for jails, community corrections programs, data collection systems and analysis, and system evaluation. He served as a consultant on behalf of North Point, the National Institute of Corrections, and the American Jail Association. He is also co-author of several articles and documents on community corrections, inmate classification, automated MIS systems, and other topics for American Jails and the Corrections Today magazines. He has served in an advisory capacity to Michigan's Office of Community Corrections Jail Population Information System and Community Corrections Information System Development Committees, and is the key author and designer of the JICS Decision Tree Objective Inmate Classification System. So obviously well versed in classification systems, and today he will be speaking about automated offender classification systems. So welcome to today's live talk, Mr. Wells.
Oh, thank you.
Well, very happy to have you. First, I was hoping you could explain for those in our audience who might not be familiar with all the aspects of automated classification, sort of generally how it works and how it can improve in inmate classification.
Well, obviously, automated classification begins with the classification instruments, and there is some difference between jail classification and prison classification. There's different risk factors, and there's different inmate populations. The jail actually has a much more diverse and hard-to-classify inmate population because you have felons, misdemeanors, unsentenced, males, females, people that have holds, detainers, all kinds of things going on. Prison classifications, obviously you have a sentenced population, all of the typically a felon type severity, and they're typically longer term. But automation issues are basically generic. The instruments that are used to classify the inmates are different. With that said, I'll kind of focus this initial comment. Well, actually, it really does apply to both prisons and jails in that the classification process really has three main components. It has initial classification, which is the initial medical, mental health, immediate supervision decisions at admission or intake. And then there's what we call primary classification, when the actual security classification is assigned to an inmate using an objective valid instrument, and then classification review, which results in reclassifications, which occurs periodically throughout an inmate's stay in a jail or a prison. So that fundamentally is what needs to be automated. And then what's critical there is that the jail or the prison that is going to be automated is automating a valid and objective instrument. There's two nationally recognized instruments as it regards jails, the NCCD point scale and the North Point JICS decision tree. So obviously to automate, you've got to start with good instruments.
Right.
Now, fundamentally, automation makes the classification process more manageable and efficient, particularly once you get into jails of more than about 250 inmates. it becomes difficult to manually classify and keep those classifications current and manage all of the decisions, the inmate management decisions that are driven by classification using manual instruments. So the automation process fundamentally replicates the classification instruments and organizes the data necessary to complete those instruments, and then automatically scores those instruments. And then, as we'll get into it a little bit later, then also can manage and help facilitate various inmate management decisions that are driven by that. And then lastly, a critical part of automation is that it provides documentation of the classification assignments, process, and management decisions.
Okay. Are there some barriers to installing these systems? And sort of as a side question to that, are prisons more equipped to install these kinds of systems more than jails?
Well, I think in general, prisons have more resources because they're state agencies, and it's typically one department managing all of the prisons in a state, and that the states all have internal management information departments. That what we find in prisons is that most all of them are automated, whereas jails, you know, it's really a local resource issue, and you might have you know, anywhere from 50 to hundreds of jails in a state, and they're really left up to their local resources to automate these processes. So I think in general prisons have more resources. Now with that said, the prisons tend to be more I think static in the process, in that they'll design some sort of classification component in their MIS, but then it tends to stay there for a very long period of time because of the scale of the automation process. Jails being smaller, generally a little bit more flexible, and a little bit it's a little bit easier to stay current with some of the new automation and technologies that come on the market. But again, when you talk about barriers, the first barrier really is that you're starting with a good valid classification instrument. And it's getting better over the past 10 years or so, but there's still a large number of agencies that are starting with inadequate instruments in the first place. So automating those really just exacerbates the problem.
I see. And you were just saying also that because maybe it takes so much effort and resources to make changes in prisons, they might not be as ready to change in many ways, even though technologically they might be there?
Yes, and it's a combination of the science of developing these new instruments and using latest research and technologies with the ability for these agencies to actually implement these changes. Another big barrier is that the software providers, I'll speak primarily to jails here, the folks that are marketing jail management software, aren't classification experts, so they generally don't know what a valid objective system is, nor do they necessarily know the importance of it and the inmate management decisions it supports. So oftentimes, these vendors really defer to whatever the jail currently is using, or they'll provide whatever they did for their last jail. And so you're oftentimes the jail is getting stuck with what they think is an objective valid classification system, but in fact is oftentimes not that. And the fact that automation isn't just automating the instruments, but it's automating all of the decision supports that go with classification. And again, your MIS designers and your jail management vendors rarely have any knowledge or appreciation of what all those are. So consequently, those get left out of the MIS design. So those are probably the biggest barriers that we see.
So in terms of what first steps for bringing this type of automation would be to your facility or to your agency, Steve, you were saying we'll first have the right kind of risk assessment instrument. And it's also sounding like you really need to have different folks within the structure of your facility, MIS, and on the same page in terms of what is the classification system you need and that sort of thing.
Right.
Are there some others that?
Well, what I've seen repeated over and over again over the years is that oftentimes the people that are making the management information system decision, the purchase decision, or the design decision, are often the IT folks, the actual computer tech type folks in a county or in a Department of Corrections. And oftentimes they're not significantly involving users, although in general, you'll get administrators or somebody at the table, but rarely do we see that they'll actually get classification staff or a classification manager at the table so that they're able to bring their needs into the design. The first steps in bringing a good automated system to a facility then is also understanding the content needs of the software. So if I am making a classification decision and my first risk factor is dealing with current offense and the seriousness of that current offense, well, the software ought to be able to bring that current offense information forward as a help window or someplace on that screen that tells me here's this guy's offense or his most serious offense, and whether that applies to that first risk split or the point value, or whether it's a yes/no as being assaultive or not. Again, with criminal history, all that should be stored and brought forward when you get to the criminal history questions in the classification, so that the officer has all that information right there on the screen and can see it and make a decision. Same with disciplinary histories and classification histories and holds and detainers and sentence status and so on. So the content of the design is very important. And that all needs to be driven by a master inmate identification number, because each time this inmate comes back into the system, we want all that prior history and all that prior knowledge that's in that database to come forward.
To show up.
To help the officer make a better classification decision for this time in jail. And again, over the past 10 years, we've seen a lot of improvements in those areas with management information systems. The second piece, then, is really the functionality design of the software, and that is how it stores the data and how it allows the user to retrieve the data and how it organizes the data. So as I said, when I'm going down the instrument and I need to know about disciplinary history, that information is a mouse click away, or is a help window right there, or is something that makes it very easy to take a look at that data and not have to go back through multiple screens or dig through old manual files and that sort of thing.
Right.
And then another critical component then in that design is the functionality of the software, and that's the user interface in the software, and that's really making it easy for the user to navigate the screens and the software using menus and not having to go drill in and out of screens to get what the information you need and that sort of thing. And then the last item really is the outputs and the reports. So you're putting all this data in, and a lot of MIS systems, like, although they're starting to get better, but a lot of MIS systems, people are putting all this data in, but they have very little capacity to get it back out in the way of useful kinds of reports to tell them, you know, what's going on, what are the trends, where do I have inmates housed that are not in compliance with my housing policy, and those sorts of things.
And ultimately, those kinds of reports are what are going to help you make changes down the road if you have that kind of information.
Right. If you have the data and you're able to retrieve it in useful manners, then it's going to support policy development planning and certainly provide you with a lot of information to support your budget requests as well.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to David Wells, president of North Point Institute for Public Management, about the implementation of automated classification systems. And we were just talking a little bit about some of the things that an agency might need to do. And I guess I didn't realize that some of these classification systems are built into these larger information management systems. What you know, with that being the case, and maybe only a handful of automated classification systems that are out there, what should agencies be looking for? What elements of an automated classification system should they kind of be ticking off if they're going to be looking at doing something like
right.
this?
The first, as I mentioned, the first thing they need is to make sure that they're adopting or implementing, automating a valid classification instrument. So it all starts there. The
yeah.
second thing is that the software really needs to manage the classification process. So the instrument comes on the screen, all the information necessary to answer each of the classification questions is organized in the software and brought forward for easy access and review by the officer. The system automatically scores the instrument so that you eliminate human error in additive point scale systems where you're adding and subtracting scores. And then once you get a good classification, another critical component then is making inmate management decisions that are driven by the classification. The primary one there is a housing assignment. So in implementing classification, one of the components is to develop a housing plan. Obviously, the whole point of implementing objective classification is to reduce risk of assaults on other inmates, assaults on staff, and public safety issues around escape and all that. So fundamentally, what the courts are demanding is that we separate the sheep from the wolves, and we do that principally in our housing plan. So once I've classified a person, a well-designed management information system to support classification should be able to tell me then what cells in my jail match this person's classification assignment per the housing plan, that have a bed available, that don't have any enemies or co-defendants in them, and then bring those list of cells forward and then even take a step forward and be able to see who's in that cell.
Right.
And then make a cell assignment, record that assignment. If due to crowding or some other problem, you're having to put this person in a cell that doesn't match his classification or has enemies or co-defendants, the system is generating red flags or triggers that are alerting staff to the fact that this person is in a cell that is not consistent with the housing plan, and provides those alerts and also produces lists of these people that are mishoused and how long they've been mishoused and what is the reason for the mishousing, so that management can also ride shotgun on the degree to which the jail is in compliance with the housing plan. And then the payoff there is obviously the more you're in compliance with your housing plan, the more you're minimizing risk of liability and things happening.
Right, exactly. My sort of final question for you this afternoon is this kind of technology something that has, I don't know, a long shelf life, something that you could install and, you know, assume it's going to work for a certain number of years, or is it something that needs tweaking, or, you know, is it, or is maybe that part of, like, making sure you get what you need, and that's something that, if it needs tweaking,
right.
something that can be tweaked?
Well, again, we have the advantage today of the new Windows-based and object-oriented kind of programming, where it's much easier now to write these applications and service and modify these applications. In general, if you've adopted a valid objective system, that system is going to have a pretty long shelf life. For example, the decision tree we developed was first developed about 1986. Mm-hmm. It had a revision made in the mid-90s, but fundamentally is the same instrument. The NCC point scale was developed in about 1988, and again, it's the same instrument that's out there. So they're still valid and appropriate,
right.
And if they've been effectively automated, then that still is useful to the end user. But we also have a new generation of classification instruments on the horizon that are going to be using more advanced statistical and artificial intelligence procedures and pattern recognition to actually do a better job of identifying and predicting the likely risk of these offenders.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have a relatively long shelf life, but they also need to be adaptable
as those new
changes
things.
And new technologies come online.
Great. Well, good to know. That concludes today's Live Talk. Thank you to David Wells, president of North Point Institute for Public Management, for joining us today. It was very nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
And thank you also to our audience for tuning in. To learn more about classification and corrections, be sure to read this week's articles on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.